It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
I love microdosing.
I love microdosing.
Yesterday, I needed to go practice my drums, and I popped a little microdose gummy, and I'll tell you what happened. I drummed for about a good 2 hours.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
I was looking at our new roof, hoping that it wasn't going to leak, and I got some anxiety about it, so I thought, you know what? I'm going to take a gummy just to calm down so I can go to sleep and not worry about this. And I did, and I had a great night's sleep, and I woke up. And there was no leak.
I've noticed a change in you for a positive change.
I like to hear that.
Yeah. I feel like your mood is like very centered.
I'm sleeping much better.
Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just that right amount of good.
And you can get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com, promo code PANTS. It's available nationwide. That's microdose.com, promo code PANTS for 30% off and free shipping.
Microdose.com, promo code PANTS.
PANTS!
Okay, you go ahead and start this one off.
The podcast?
Mm-hmm. How you want to do it.
I want to do it how we always do it.
Which is
today we're discussing episode 203, Leisha, and it's called The Loneliest Number. And it's written by Lara Spotts.
Our very good friend, Lara Spotts, not just Lara Spotts.
Do you want to say how you met Lara Spotts?
So Lara is a very old dear friend of mine who I met as my transpo girl in New York City when I was doing an indie film called All Over Me. And I would leave my apartment in the morning and she was the one on the crew who would come pick me up. And that's how we got to know each other.
And cut to, she just wrote episode 203.
Yeah. And so when this show was on the air, I'm a big advocate for always getting people I love on projects I'm working on. So I'm always like, you got to meet Lara or you got to use this director that, you know, and they loved Lara and she ended up in the writer's room second season. And this is her episode.
So that wasn't happenstance. That was you that got her into the writer's room that year.
Her talent got her the job. I just mentioned her name and how amazing she is because I watched Lara go from transpo girl to head of development at Bravo. I've never seen someone climb a ladder in such a perfect way.
Well, she's smart. She's talented.
I know. Through the last 30 years where you're just like, yep, that makes sense. Yep, mm-hmm. That makes sense. So this was just what are they called on a ladder? What are those called?
A rung?
A rung. This was just a rung in Lara's life.
Well, I got to hand it to Lara and Rose Trochet, who directed this one. So far in season two, this has been my favorite.
My favorite as well.
I really enjoyed it.
Me too.
I smiled. I laughed.
Me too.
I rolled my eyes
and
I shook my head in disbelief. All the emotions you want in one episode of The L Word.
It was everything you want. It delivered.
Really did.
It L Word delivered. I didn't remember her writing this and I was like, oh, it's Lara's. And then I just on a little ride for the whole hour and I just finished it and I'm on a high. I thought it was fantastic.
I think you and I just watched it at the exact same time because I too just finished it, made a cup of tea, and here we are.
I made a cup of tea.
What kind of tea? Did you make a cuppa?
I made a cuppa. I made a cup of black tea.
You made my kind of cuppa?
Yes.
I have a drink. We call it a cuppa, which is PG Tips, oat milk, and a little dollop of maple syrup, and it's my go-to drink.
Yeah, it's exactly what I had. But my friend Heather, who's... You know, her mother was English and her grandmother, Phyllis, was English. She would throw down about PG Tips. She'd be like, it's about Yorkshire tea.
Wait, she didn't like PG Tips?
She thinks PG Tips is like,
It's like Folger's coffee.
Well, no. I mean, it's a pretty good like backup plan for Yorkshire tea, but...
All right. Well, I'm American. So PG Tips to me is...
You know what? I'll get you some Yorkshire tea. You can do a little A-B test.
I would love that.
I'll let Heather know what you think.
That's so funny. We're having the same drink. It's cozy. It's an afternoon pick-me-up.
Yeah, I was like, you know what I want right now? And then I just made it for myself.
That's what I liked about Vancouver. You go into coffee shops in Vancouver and they would have those and they were called London Fogs. You could find them all over Vancouver.
London Fogs. Yeah. That's with, what's the other tea?
Earl Grey. But you could get it with PG Tips or you could get it with English Breakfast. But they always had that at all the coffee shops, London Fog. And here in America, you can't find it and they don't know what it is.
I think the best cup of tea is when someone makes it for you. Especially that kind.
I made you a great cup last week, didn't I?
I know you did.
I even frothed the milk for you just the way you like it. Didn't I, pumpkin?
You did, honey.
I did. Okay. Loneliest number. Let's kick it.
Loneliest number. The air date was March 6, 2005. All right. It opens on the cold open. Alice is in the planet, but it's like a jungle.
You're in the Brazilian rainforest.
Totally.
I forgot about this opener. And I was so happy because it's the best opener of the series, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a really bad nightmare. Tanya shows up in a hot pink, tight cleavage showing dress and her hair's like permed out and she's like a bad girl, you know, and she's
a cartoon villain.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like Ursula from The Little Mermaid. She's like, you know, she's and you're just sitting there like a babe in the woods, speechless.
It's great.
It's amazing. And just she's seducing you, right? She's like, come on, give it to Tauntaun.
Yeah, give it to Tauntaun, and Tauntaun's hungry or something, starving or something. And she goes down between my legs, and then I wake up.
And then it's Dana in between your legs.
Oh, right. Dana's down there. That's right. With a perm also.
And it wound up being a dream. And it's only, you wake up and it's a dream. It's like Alice's subconscious is working overtime.
Yeah, she's like, I know how you feel. You're a bad girl.
It was so good.
It was a great one. Then we cut to the law office of Joyce Wishnia.
She's a ball buster.
Mm-hmm.
And she is saying everything to Bet that Tina never could, but probably wanted to.
I found it really like boundary crossing, but I loved every second of it. I was like, yeah. Yeah, Joyce. Uh-huh, Joyce. Yep, Joyce. Correct.
It's funny how they're talking about marriage, too, because Beth's lawyer's like, Joyce, this isn't a marriage.
And then she lists everything it was. And then it was like, yeah.
But that's what we had to do to prove that actually, no, we weren't legally married by law. But all of these assets indicate that, yeah, we were. That's the argument that we used to be stuck in. And that wasn't that long ago.
It was not that long ago at all.
And Bet offering 10 G's in an apartment.
I died.
Really, Bet? Come on.
10. Well, but in Bet's defense, she thought, oh, Tina's going to be back in a week. Right. So here's 10 grand for like, or 2 weeks.
And Joyce is like 10 grand to start.
Yeah, that's hilarious. That's adorable. But Bet didn't know that they're getting divorced. That it was like a final separation.
Yeah.
She was shocked in the office.
Yeah. And Jane Lynch, she's a breath of fresh air on the show. Ugh. Her and Meredith McGeechee just bring it up to a whole other level.
They're my favorites. I know.
What does she say? Then Bet and her lawyer take off and Tina's upset. And she's like, what does Joyce say? She's like, I'm in pain.
She's like, what do you need? A foot rub? Oh, yeah. I'm in pain.
Feel sorry for me.
She's like, I've heard it so many times.
I'm in pain.
I'm broke. I'm in pain. It's so good. She's so good. I love these people. I get these love fests inside, mm-hmm. Right? I can't find the words to express like the gratitude for being on the show, the luck that I feel that we had these people.
Yeah.
And just watching them. I don't know. And you know, this is before Jane was on Glee because I remember at some event we were all at.
This was right before she got Glee. We were all geeking out over the fact that she was in the Christopher Guest films.
Exactly. And like brilliant in those. We're like, oh my God, it's her. And then we were at this event and she's like, oh, I got to run. We're shooting the pilot for this show I just got.
Right.
It's called Glee. And we're like, oh, cool. Well, good luck with everything.
Meanwhile, cut to.
Best of luck.
She has this great line, which is like, you know, pure divorce lawyer, because Tina says like, I'm angry. And she's like, good, anger will change your life.
But then she gets a little like, you know, interested in Tina, it seems. Right?
Oh, sure. There's certainly something
brewing under the surface. And then she offers to let her stay in her guest house, which is a very LA thing to do. Stay in my guest house.
Sure. I remember there's this lesbian in town back in the, you know, late 90s. I'm not going to say her name, but she had a very popular house that had a guest house. Or I should say her guest house was a very popular place for lesbians to stay after breakups. I must have known five girls that went through that guest house that were like...
Would I know who this person is?
I don't think so. I think it was before you moved here.
You know, I lived in Eileen's guest house.
Yeah.
Up in Nichols when I first got to LA.
You did.
For like a month or two. Lived in my family's guest house. It's a rite of passage when you come to LA and you're like, where do I go? Stay in my guest house. And then you're there and it's convenient. And the trick is knowing when to leave.
Yeah. Well, always, right? I mean, that's across the board.
Well, some people don't learn that lesson easily.
Well, obviously Tina doesn't because she has been staying with Alice for over a month.
No, but she even says, I'm staying on my friend's couch. Like, you know, like I need my own place. Poor thing, has nothing of her own.
Nothing. And pregnant.
And pregnant.
And here's the funny thing. We learn later that Alice is still oblivious to this pregnancy. But she's living in her house and she still doesn't know she's pregnant.
Leisha.
That's a stretch for me.
It's beyond a stretch for me. Especially for Alice. But also others as well. But we'll...
Like, wouldn't she, like, all the things that you go through in a pregnancy, which I know probably 5% of, I would think... I would know if I had a friend here for a month, if she was pregnant or not.
Especially that pregnant.
I mean, and I'm not even talking about the physicality of the whole
thing.
Oh,
I am.
I'm talking about just what people go.
Because when she reveals.
Well, I know, but go. Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, we can laugh about that scene when it happens. And yes, but the things you go through while you're pregnant, like, don't people throw up? Isn't there a whole like a pickle and a peanut butter thing? Like the food you eat or the cravings or the irritability.
I think that's case by case, but...
Of course. I'm not saying this is...
No, but it is a stretch. It's a complete stretch. Bet I could believe, wouldn't know, because every time she sees Tina, Tina's, you know, sitting. So like the table is obscuring. So sure. But outside of Bet, I don't buy it.
No. But hey...
It's the L word.
It's the L word.
It's supposed to be stretching your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Then we're on the street. This is one of the scenes you and I have talked about through the years where we really loved Bet in this scene.
Oh, it's peak Bet.
Yeah. She's in her blue convertible.
And she gets into an accident. And I couldn't tell from the footage who was at fault.
And she's spaced out from pain. Bet ran a red light.
She did run a red light. So she T-boned a car at an intersection.
She did.
Yeah. Unhinged Bet is peak Bet.
It's the best Bet.
Yeah. It's an iconic scene.
Yeah. So this guy gets out. He's like, how could you? And what, you ran red and what, da, da, da. And she's sort of in that zone, you know, that state.
Mm-hmm.
And she lets loose on this guy.
Yeah.
The very end of it is my favorite. Where she's like, he's like, oh, you're crazy.
What makes you think I haven't already? And she like grabs him and like slams him up against her car or his car.
Uh-huh. Shakes him. Ugh. So good.
I think that was shot in LA.
I could have that scene go on. Like what happened? How did it wind down? How did they exchange, you know, insurance cards? Like where did it go? I would have watched that scene for another 4 minutes.
Same here. But instead it cuts to the planet.
Mm-hmm. You always got to cut back to the planet.
Always. Because Kit's doing a renovation. I'd love to know who her contractor is because she feels very confident that those floors are going to be installed today.
Today, well, not only that, she's a crew of like 20 people and...
Who's the contractor? Can I have his number?
This is also had it like in a week. She just got the money last week or maybe days ago. And already it's like there are men climbing the walls.
Look at the reboot. Shane bought a bar, renovated a bar and opened a bar in a span of an episode and a half.
Right. And learned how to run it. Like the deliveries of the beer and the booze.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just saying like... Good for Kit to find that contractor. You and I come in. It's funny to go back to like what I care about now and what I cared about then. I didn't care about any of this then.
I know.
Like I would have been fascinated by like, oh, wow, I wonder what she's going to turn this place into.
What kind of wood is she going to use for those countertops? How is she going to seal that?
Can I see the before and after?
Are you doing exposed beams or are we going to...
Exactly. Meanwhile, you and I are just like, hey, kid. Okay, so she tells us that she's going to have a jazz quartet, and we teach her about the lesbian phone tree.
Which does also exist at LA. It's sort of an, you know, if you want to get a hold of someone for whatever reason, you're really just three lesbians away from
anything.
That getting that person's information and contacting them.
It's true. I mean, let's just put it in real life right now. Like, let's say I needed to get a hold of Pink, because that's who's referenced.
That's two lesbians away. No, actually, it's one.
You think so?
Yeah.
You can put that in your head right now?
I just did the math. One. Wow. If you want to be polite, two, but one.
You just go straight to the source or hop a couple of lesbians to get there. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it is like that in this town. I love later, Kit just kind of truncates the whole thing. She's like, I believe in the tree.
But I also like how you think you're going to get Pink to play a coffee shop in WeHo.
How about I said, she would love to play here.
I bet. Oh, you sure? In 2005. So that means she's at her peak. Peak Pink.
But like, it's a coffee shop.
And she's going to be rolling into a coffee shop in WeHo. I don't think
Whoever it is, it's almost like open mic night. Like, I'm all like, of course they'd want to play. They'd love to play here.
Alice.
But I don't know.
Get your head out of the clouds, Alice.
And this is like based on what? The Abbey sort of?
Pink wouldn't play the Abbey either.
I know. I'm trying to think of like the most popular coffee shop. It was Little Frida's in the Abbey.
At the time, I think it was the Abbey. Yeah.
And still, I don't think Pink would want to play either one. But I don't know. I'm not Pink. Maybe she.
I appreciate Alice's idealism with Pink.
All right. Hold that thought. We'll be back in a minute.
Rocket Money. I used Rocket Money again last week.
How many? Are you okay?
I don't know.
You have
a lot
of subscriptions you forget about.
You know what it is? Because I get these apps and you have to pay for everything you get these days. And I think, all right, well, I'll use this for a few days and I'll cancel it. But I forget.
And you have forget every week that you forgot last week.
Yes.
Thank God you have Rocket Money. Before I started using Rocket Money myself, I thought I had about like, I don't know, 6 subscriptions. No, Kate, I had like 15.
15?
Yes. I was like, clear it, get rid of it. And Rocket Money is like, we have your back. Because Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. So you can start to grow your savings.
Plus, Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pants. That's rocketmoney.com/pants. Say it, Kate.
That's rocketmoney.com/pants.
Okay, then we're at the CU. We're with Sandra Bernhard and Jenny.
Right.
And Jenny asks her why she didn't get in the writing class. And Ms. Birch she's hardcore. I mean, I'd say she's a little more hardcore than Joyce Wishnia. She's brass tacks. She's like, you are not good. And that's why you're not in the class.
I like how Sandra,
You journal. She says everything really slowly. It's my favorite. Mm-hmm.
I don't have much for that scene. But I do think Mia's hair looks fabulous.
I was like, nice hair.
Great hair.
Yeah.
And I like how she played it too. Everything was simple. Everything's in Mia's eyes at all times. Like, she doesn't have to say a single thing and you know exactly what she's thinking, or you assume you know what she's thinking.
Well, that's a good actor, right?
Her eyes are just speak volumes. But yeah.
Yes.
She wants to know why she didn't get into the class. Because you journal.
You journal. Okay, so Joyce, we're at Joyce's house. Alice is helping Tina move into the guest house, which we turn the corner.
Is that poncho supposed to be hiding the pregnancy bump and you're that oblivious to it?
Yes.
I even wrote down, does Alice know yet?
Why the poncho?
Because I thought maybe you knew.
I had forgotten about who knew and who didn't know, honestly. But no.
But you don't know.
Nobody. You don't know either. Nobody knows.
It makes sense that I wouldn't know.
Why?
But with you, she's at your place.
Right. Makes extra sense.
Anyway, this is where we get into it's a stretch because I don't buy it either.
It's okay. I mean, whatever. I'm on the ride. Anyway, we're like, this is a guest house because it's like the size of a real house.
Which is, you know.
Back to the planet, but drops off some paperwork from the bank. I didn't know if it was supposed to be important, if it was like a story point, but kind of got like left behind that idea. And then Kit's worried about the opening. And then Bette is like, I'm in a divorce. I'm being, you know, taken for all my money and I just got in a crash. So what are we going to order?
Bette's like, hold my beer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Kit, there's no comparison.
I don't know. I think opening a bar is just as stressful.
It is, but you're going through a divorce and your ex-wife, you think, because she thinks Tina's coming after everything that she owns and that there's no possible future.
There's no turning back. Yeah. Well, I kind of took it like I went a little deeper and I was like, maybe Bette and Kit's whole life, it's always been about Kit's problems and what Kit's going through and, you know. Bette's kind of like, sit down for a minute. I'm having actual problems, sister.
Yeah.
Help me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
You're right.
Anyway, they chose Mexican, which I thought was a great choice. Jenny and Shane's. It's the blossoming of the roommateship.
Do you remember there was a cut scene? Well, maybe I should hold off on this story a moment until, because I have a, oh, should I wait?
No, let's wait. Go. Let it go. Let it fly. What is it?
All right. We're at Jenny and Shane's house. And I love that Carmen doesn't care that she's in her underwear and a stranger whose house that is walks in. Like, I love her self-possession.
Nobody cares that Carmen's in her underwear.
Well, maybe Carmen would care, but Carmen doesn't care. I really admire her self-possession. And she said, so what shows that you like someone more? You care about them more, beer or soy milk? And typical Jenny says soy milk. And then we go in to Shane's room with Carmen.
Before you go to the room, can we talk about what Jenny poured herself?
Whole milk.
A giant glass of whole milk.
I hope she's not lactose intolerant.
Strange, but okay, continue.
But anyway, so then we get into Shane's room, and now I can get into the cut scene. So we shot a scene.
You and I,
because the idea was that Shane moved into Jenny's and Shane built all of her own furniture.
Uh-huh. Right? And we wanted to fix the place up.
She's really handy with a hammer. Mm-hmm. And we filmed a scene. I remember painting a wall.
Uh-huh. We had those same shirts on that we left. I had that green t-shirt on. Yes. And you had your blue.
Correct. And I had the blue polo.
Uh-huh.
And in the room, there was no furniture in it. Well, there was furniture pieces in it to make it look like Shane's in the midst of, you know, building her bed frame. But there was a bag, like one of those military bags that you kind of sling over your shoulders. And you were sitting on it. Yeah. And you went to go sit down on it and you fell backwards off the bag.
I ate shit. I was like, and yeah. Anyway, the crew,
did they cut it?
Fell out that like we all had to stop because it's like I missed it and then it didn't support me. So like I just kind of go over like a weeble wobble.
No, but why'd they cut the scene is what I mean.
I don't know, because what a cute scene to have like your friend over to help paint the walls.
I mean, I get it. We don't need it, but it would have been cute.
Yeah, we needed it.
Anyway, we're doing the too hot game.
I mean, if you're going to pick, people will probably be, well, I'd rather see the too hot scene. But you could have had both.
I like how Rose shot that scene.
It was beautiful.
The point of the game seems kind of stupid, but.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. In fact, Lara wrote the scene between Alice and Dana about the rules of unattraction. And now she's writing a game.
Which one was that?
Where we had to like figure out all the ways to not be attracted to each other. And then now you have a game like Too Hot.
Where in Runyon Canyon?
Yeah. That was her scene. And then now she's written, I guess she likes games.
Clearly.
Yeah.
This game didn't make much sense to me. But point is, Shane lost.
Why didn't that make sense?
Because it seems like you can't touch me, I can't touch you, and we're kissing. And
it's just a sex game.
I think there's better sex games out there is all I'm saying. It was a little kindergarten-ish.
Okay. I thought it was great.
For an X-rated girl like Shane, it was a little, but it was a good scene. I like the scene.
But Shane, I don't know. I disagree. I think it was great for Carmen to make you play that game.
I like that Shane lost.
Because it's always your rules. It's always your, yeah, that's what.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I like that she lost and I like how Carmen just has this self-possession where she's not intimidated or feeling insecure, and everything she gets thrown at her, she handles with grace.
Mm-hmm.
Big Carmen fan. I understand the hype.
Yeah, you guys made a lot of sense together. And she was the only one that was a match for you. And you try so hard to keep your Shane gig up with your like, I gotta go, I gotta... By the way, we're not there yet. Okay, let's go there. Okay, let's go there. So after you have sex...
Do you want to talk about Jenny's fantasy? Do we care?
Okay. We have to.
Not really. We don't have to. Why? Who says we have to?
You can't pretend it didn't happen. Jenny sits at her computer, writes what she thinks the teacher is going to love. And it's a carnival scene. We're back to the carnival. She's a little girl. There's a bunch of little boys. She pops through.
We're beginning to delve into her abuse, and she's writing a fictionalized story about it. End scene.
Right. Journaling.
End scene.
End scene. The music is what I had a hard time with.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. All right. So now we're back, and now we can get into the Great Wall of Shane.
This is the part I thought was beautifully shot, was this scene.
Yeah, it was. It was shot really well.
You don't say anything, but it was very telling, much like what Jenny does. And I thought your performance was beautiful. And I felt for Carmen. I also felt for you. Like, oh, she's got a lot of damage. A lot of baggage. Doesn't want to talk about it. Then you get up and you're like...
I have to say, I forgot entirely about this scene until it popped up today. And that scene says more about the internal damage than any other scene that character has had so far.
Right. And it's your favorite thing, which is you didn't say anything. You love that.
She doesn't have the skill to be vulnerable. She just doesn't.
No.
And Carmen is so, again, patient and...
I want to know you. Let's be intimate. Who are you?
Yeah.
Where'd that tattoo come from? How did this happen? Little get to know you things that anybody in bed would probably talk about, but you're like slam shut.
And she gets frustrated, but I never get the sense that she's taking it personally.
No. I take it as like, am I really going to keep going towards this person?
Right.
This is a damaged person.
Or she thinks to herself, okay, fine. You don't want to talk about it? Great. Okay. I'm going to go. You figure it out. You go out and you have your night.
Right. But what night? This is the part I want to get to. Where are you going?
Good question. Couldn't tell you. If I was Shane, I wouldn't be going
anywhere.
You're
really getting dressed like you were you're like, I got to go out. Like, what does that mean?
I don't know. Things close in LA early. So where does she think she's going to go? Maybe there's an after hours that we don't know about.
Okay, so you're just a girl who needs to be in clubs. You need to be in like bars and clubs.
Couldn't tell you.
You just want to get away from someone in your room. You're like, if you're not going to go, I have to go.
I think she even says that. I don't like sleepovers.
I know.
I think she's trying to find any way to say, okay, we had our good time.
You're not going to leave, obviously. So
time to go, because I don't want you spending the night.
But you don't say time to go. You say, I'll go.
No, because she's too nice and she's too polite. She's going to dance around it. She's not going to be that blunt. And so she's like, I'm going to go out. Because normally...
You've been blunt. You're like,
this is different. It's like, all right, we just, they slept together. It was great.
Yeah.
It's late at night. The obvious choice is, she'll spend the night. And Shane's an avoidant. That's her middle name.
I did that once. I pretended... I pretended I had to meet a gardener at like 6 a.m.
Oh, Leisha, I've pulled that so many times. You got to earn a sleepover at my house.
Okay. This is a great scene.
Tanya.
Dana walks into... I want a Tanya t-shirt.
Me
That's
too.
How obsessed I am with her right now. Dana walks into what she thinks is going to be a normal lunch with her fiance. There's a table full of people from every, from the Advocate magazine, Absolute Vodka, Bride magazine.
Basically, she's going to have a sponsored wedding
celebrity
with all
wedding.
Of these different companies. I mean, Tanya is the queen of puns.
Yes.
And everyone's like, brilliant idea, Tanya. Amazing. I mean, she's thought of everything. And Dana's like, what the fuck? Like, this is turning in and...
Yeah, but a little impressed on the inside, but also what the fuck. Then her business manager, or their business manager, is at the end of the table, says at the end of lunch, so I'm going to cut out of your corporate account, Tanya's 15% managerial percentage. Which right,
and
shock.
Then it gets Dana's wheels churning because then she's like everything in her body is screaming no, but she's thinking towards her rational side is thinking, yeah, but she does all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then she automatically asks, well, who's paying for this lunch?
Corporate account. And then what I was impressed with was Dana, the Dana we knew in first season wouldn't have done this, but Dana's like, when Tanya walks back up, she's like, well, I'm paying you. Are you my manager? Are you my fiance?
Yeah.
Or my girlfriend, whatever they call it. And then mm-hmm. Tanya's like, honey, oh, my favorite line. She goes,
and she says, am I not doing enough? Am I not doing enough? It's amazing because it's you feel for Dana because, you know, her body knows it's wrong, but you feel guilty in admitting that.
Yeah. And then Tanya's like, I'm good. Like, she's good at what she does.
I thought Aaron was great in that scene.
Everybody was great in that scene.
And then we're with Bet at CAC.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the grant money, and she needs grant money. And someone says Helena Peabody, but oh no, her Helena Peabody, something's happening now. Oh, I'm sorry,
no, Peggy Peabody.
And now her daughter Helena is coming to take it over. And Bet's boss says, well, she's one of you, Bet, so maybe you should talk to her, which is a very unfortunate stereotype that I'm sure all of us have experienced.
Wouldn't be on TV today.
Huh?
It wouldn't be on TV today either.
No, but I'm saying in real life, I'm sure all of us have experienced it. Someone who means well is like, oh, they're gay. They're going to be there, as if like suddenly that's like, you know, your thread.
That you're going to like each other automatically.
Yeah. All gay people know each other and we're automatically going to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
Well-meaning, but very tone deaf. That's why I like that scene.
Then James pops in. He's like, so-and-so is called 14 times. And Bet does like an aside phone call. And she's like, listen, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
To the guy, the car. And everybody sees it. We're all starting to see this side of Bet that is like...
unhinged Bet.
Yeah. But also powerful.
Well, destructive. And Alice is cleaning her house with a nose strip.
Yeah, remember when those Bior strips were really popular back then?
Yeah, and they don't work.
I know, they never, because the commercial shows it like, I mean, not to be gross, but like...
No, it's satisfying. Results. You wish it did that, and it doesn't.
No. But boy, we sure all did it back then.
They're bullshit.
I had a box of them.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute.
Anyway, I'm dusting my house, because Tina's gone, so this is a big, you know... clean up behind the guest moment. The buzzer rings. It's Dana. She needs to talk. And she comes up. My favorite part of the whole scene. I'm going to say it.
Patty.
You too?
Yep. I love the instinctual checkout of the hot neighbor.
Yeah. And just, hey, Patty. I remember filming that and I requested a couple of extras because I wanted it to feel like an apartment building, you know, where you're familiar with your neighbors in the building. And I got to say, as I watched it, you know, 20 years later, I was very pleased with the result.
Does Dana check out Patty too?
She kind of looks, I rewound to see what Dana did.
She kind of checks out Patty and then looks at you reacting to Patty.
Yeah. Or just, also, I didn't want Patty to know my business, but like.
Well. You and Aaron.
There was another one too with a dog.
Adorable yeah. in this scene. And you're such babies. It's crazy.
Little tiny,
like
tiny
two
people.
Baby faces.
Yeah. That are falling in love. I mean, yeah. Obviously, it's pretty hardcore at this point.
Yeah. I felt the tension in that one. At least Alice was able to admit Tanya's negotiating skills because it is impressive.
I know. They both acknowledge that she's good at what she does.
I mean, she is.
You can't deny it.
No.
You can hate her, but you can't deny her skills. Anyway, she leaves. We stare at the bedroom. She leaves. We know it's not mm-hmm. right. Back at CU, Jenny follows Sandra Bernhard to her door, her car door, and is like, you need to read this. And she's like, I've told you. I'm not into your writing.
I'm glad Jenny's being assertive.
Me too. I liked it. And of course, that made her, she leaves the thing on her windshield and obviously... Ms. Birch reads it later.
And we have a party at Shane and Jenny's house.
Is that what that's called?
All right, well, let me dial it down. Say it's a get-together at Shane's house. I remember you were sitting on that couch in that outfit and the way you were positioned, because you had to deal with the computer, Rose Trochet. Was like,
oh, wait, you're starting Rose to ring a bell.
Like, Leisha, it's not cut cat on the hot tin roof. Can you change positions?
That's right. Kate, how did you remember that?
Because it was amazing. It made me laugh so much. It was your outfit. It had, because you had the little dance flats on.
You're right. And I was curled up with my kid. Yep. Oh my God. Good Thank memory. You. Also, what I noticed in this scene, and not just this scene, but many of the scenes in this episode, that we are so familiar with each other as actual friends at this point, that we have so many looks and stares and like moments with each other that we were only having as real people. Like I had it with Jenny in this scene.
It's nice that the director, that directors on the show and the editors knew that and kept that in. Because all it does is add more to the scene and gives it a little more color. Because, you know, directors wouldn't have to keep it. They could just play by the book. But thankfully, they're always looking for those little things that we came up with.
Like we do little looks and glances to each other the whole time.
Yeah, you know, because usually, you know, normally you're like, oh, that was good. I hope they keep it in. That's what you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then guess what? They don't. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh, well, you know.
Yeah. Like these are the days we would leave, you know, right after that scene or whatever and
go out to
get
dinner.
In the car and go meet for dinner. Yeah. It's when all the worlds were sort of colliding. The beginning of that.
At this point, you, Mia, and I were roommates. Aaron lived down the street.
Exactly. Where you just started pretending, oh, Mia's playing Jenny right now. And I'm playing Alice and you're, it's kind of what we do now. Like when we're in a scene together, I'm like, oh, Kate, Shane, right. It's not Kate. It brought me a lot of joy.
And everyone's having a drink. It's a really lame get together, P.S. Really lame.
I'm having a hard time with Pink. You're making fun of me. Jenny comes
home.
And
then Bette strolls in through the back door and she's, you know, she's had a few. She's a little.
It's like Weekend at Bernie's. She's like. Half dead in the eyes.
God bless having Tanya around in those awkward situations because Tanya is that kind of character that refuses to be awkward. So she'll kill any awkward silence.
She even said it. Well, this is awkward.
Yeah, exactly. She's a great person to have.
Well, also, Alice and Dana were bickering. It just wasn't it didn't have a lot of levity. Your party.
Well, we were just kicking back until Bette strolls in and Bette's a buzzkill. Like she's a bad drunk, let's face it.
Well, she's depressed, Kate.
I understand. But you know, those people when they drink, it's like they're not a side of themselves. They're not their best self comes out. And you always think, God, I hope they don't drink too much tonight because of that tendency.
Uh-huh.
Bette's that person.
Yeah. I mean, she's had some fun drinks. This is just, she's in a moment where she shouldn't probably be boozing it up.
Well, I can only speak for the present. And right now, she's a bad drunk.
Okay. But we played another game. Oh my God, I'm realizing Lara plays games and scripts. We play a game. What would you ask yourself out at a bar? I thought that was interesting. All of our answers.
I like Jenny's answer the most.
Well, you were like, I'd fuck myself, which was hilarious. Jenny's like, I'd never. I wouldn't touch myself as a girl.
No, Jenny said, if I was a guy, I would ask myself out. And if I was a girl asking myself out, I'd never ask myself out, which is brilliant. It's a good answer.
Yeah, it's a great answer. I enjoyed that game. I've enjoyed every game.
Then we see Shane and Alice, you know, carrying Bette back to her house because they're next door neighbors, which was a real foreshadow to the reboot.
I literally thought the same thing. I was like, oh my God, it's the trio.
I wish this reboot had more scenes like the one that we're talking about, right? And it was very simple, but it was like a scene where we're just helping one of
friends.
Us that's in need. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I thought the same thing.
Like the reboot, like we need that in the reboot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
not
yeah.
just talking all the time, but like action. That was like an action that's showing, oh, okay, these two characters
care about her.
Well, yeah. Although she messed up. Sure, there's still love there.
Exactly. And then I apologize because I've kind of been a little hardcore with her. I didn't remember Bette and Alice being so contentious. The relationship. I didn't. No memory of that. Anyway, I apologize. And we both kissed her on the head.
The next morning, Bette's in bed with COVID. isn't she?
If she had it, there wouldn't have been a test around to know. Or she's just hungover. She had Pepto-Bismol.
I don't know. Huh. She's in my, you know what? She has COVID, so she's staying in.
It's a light case. She, still with the Peabody grant application, James calls in, Beth's like, I'm working from home.
Blah, 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 blah.
She touches Tina's pillows. A lot of pillow touching between Beth and Tina this episode. Quick cut over to the CU where Jenny is in the class. So you're kind of wondering, is she like stalking this teacher at this point? No. Turns out Ms. Birch slides the call in, the sign-in sheet for Jenny for the class. So she's in the class. That's the reveal. She's made it. She likes her work. She opens up her paper and it says, better indeed. And Jenny really looks like, really, it kind of broke
my heart.
It's a
win for Jenny.
Yeah, it was sweet.
We find Al is coming to Tina's house because it's the planet's big opening night mm-hmm. under new management. And Tina's not ready. And poor Alice, she's the one character out of all of the characters that has been stuck in the middle of Bette and Tina more than anybody else.
Stuck in the middle of the breakup. Ugh. And I've been there, by the way, in life. It sucks.
Yeah, unless you secretly hated the person that they were dating and that way you're relieved. But no, in this case, it just sucks because it ruins the natural order of things.
Also, back in that day, or I don't know, it probably still exists, but like those really solid lesbian relationships, like the pressure surrounding them was so large when you had that couple that was like, oh my God, they've been together 7 years. And you were just like, oh, like the thought of them breaking up made, for some reason, made your world collapse if it didn't work out. It was sort of like, if they can't make it, I can't make it, or I'll never find it, or I'll find it and then it'll dissolve. Or it just like, it was like the big hope in the sky.
But it's also the whole thing of like, oh God, this is just going to complicate
everything,
the structure of everything socially. If I invite her, I can't invite that one, or vice versa. Or, you know, whose side is who on? And I have to navigate that.
Or, yeah, or the pressure of like, well, don't you agree with me? Or don't you should be agreeing with me?
Yeah,
or that was wrong.
Or, ugh. All of it. And I don't blame Alice for breaking down in tears because... Mm-mm.
I thought it was funny, though. She's like, Bette smoking and drinking herself to death, and you're eating your feelings. And that was the big reveal. Like, I thought...
And now she finally reveals that she's pregnant, and she's very pregnant.
Very.
How in the world did she hide that?
Like, did Laurel deliver her baby that week? That's how pregnant she is.
I mean, how in the world?
I don't know.
Are you supposed to believe that she hid that from you?
She's like... Alice, I'm not fat. And then she lifts her shawl.
And now it's opening night at the planet. And DJ Carmen is spinning records. You know that Sarah took DJ lessons.
Good for her.
And I got to say, I respect Carmen because she's using real vinyl.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, okay.
Anyway, I love watching Sarah DJ. We don't see her do it a lot. We usually see her do it in the background. But if you watch, if you just pay attention to what she's doing, it looks like she's having the best time entertaining herself.
But a lot of DJs do that. Like, a lot of it is about, like, I look like I'm having the most fun, so you should too.
Like, no, you got to watch her. Like, she's really enjoying herself. It's one of my favorite things. Like,
I believe
it. She's laughing and dancing and, like, jamming away with the hat on her head. And
yeah.
Whole thing.
We have a friend in common who's a DJ, and she does that. It's all about like crowd, whatever you call that. I don't know, amping up the crowd.
Yeah, but she's not amping up the crowd. She's just having the time. It's like she's having her own solo party is my point. And when you watch Carmen, it looks like she's having like a party for one.
Oh, I see.
Having the best
time. She's not ever like looking up like, are you feeling this too?
No.
Okay.
She's just having a really good time.
Well, the fedora is blocking her eyes.
The fedora. The oversized fedora that doesn't properly fit on her head.
You and Mia had one of the scenes I was referencing earlier where she's like, I don't know, you remind me of one of my boyfriends in high school. I feel like that was
right.
Mia. I think Mia said that to you. And then anyway, I run in. I can't wait to tell you some gossip. You stopped me from doing it, which I thought was funny. Mm-hmm. And then the band walks in, the band Betty.
Well, no, first Bette's outside smoking.
Oh, right.
And
Jenny comes out to smoke. And guess what? Bette claims she quit smoking 4 years ago.
Which, did you remember Bette smoking so much?
Nope. I think this is the only period on the show where she does. She never touches it again. But if there's anyone Bette should listen to, it's Jenny, because Jenny just went through this.
She went through the same thing. But Bette, you know, thank God, admits that she was very judgmental the whole time and she couldn't believe Jenny was throwing her kindness.
Yeah. And I like Bette and Jenny together. And Jenny has, there actually is real empathy, because Bette's like, well, I can't believe you're even talking to me considering how I treated you. And she said, yeah, I don't know. You know, Jenny's like a little open heart.
And everybody's in like fabulous outfits, by the way. This is where the budget went up.
I'm not in the greatest outfit. I'm just in a sleeveless black t-shirt.
I'm not. I mean, mine's okay, but those two outside of the planet were in like Miu Miu and who knows.
And then Bette's over at the planet, Tina comes to Bette's house to gather some of her things, and she sees that the bed is unmade. So she's fluffing the pillows and, you know, as you can tell, she's getting a little sentimental, and there's Bette's computer.
And she smells the pillow.
She smells the pillow. She sees Bette's computer and, you know, cardinal rule, like, don't go searching because you will find something.
Yeah. Don't look at people's stuff.
And of course, she does find something, an email from Candace that says, I miss you, with a picture attached of them in bed together.
Yeah. Which is a one-sided email with no response. So I have to give that to Bette. I was kind of like, Tina,
yeah,
there's
it still
no,
stings, though.
I know,
it
the
still
picture,
stings.
The picture stung. Also, why does Tina only have clothes that are hung up? Do they not have drawers? Nobody's ever dealing with folded clothes over at their house. It's always things are on hangers.
I don't need to watch Tina fold things from a drawer. I just get the hint that she's gathering her belongings and heading out.
Okay.
And so then...
So that's been ruined because we were led to believe Tina's... Here she goes. She's going to come back. She loves Bette. She misses her. She's hugging the pillow. Nope.
Back at the planet, who shows up? Bette shows up.
Bette was the big win.
We went from pink to Bette.
Pink to Bette.
Thanks, Alice.
Well... You know what? I said earlier in the night, I can't get pink. Okay. There's only so much I could have done.
Don't make excuses.
Where's the booking agent for the planet? Why is this on my ass?
You're the one who stuck her foot in it and said, oh, I can help.
Okay. But don't listen to me and get someone who can reach out to managers of bands.
Well, it's a little late for that now, isn't it, Alice? The best scene of the whole episode is Dana and Tanya dancing. I could watch a full hour of Aaron Daniels
dancing anytime.
Like, I mean, that could just be episode 4 as far as I'm concerned.
And then Tanya drags
they're ridiculous
Alice over.
Together. And then,
they're ridiculous.
Yeah, they lure Alice over, and that dance off kind of turns into like your dream.
And I think she's like, I know what's going on. And really she's just saying, I took your friend.
But it's like your dream that you had in the opening of the episode. It's like reflective of how it opened. And you're like, get me out of here.
I thought it was funny after Alice left, how forcefully Tanya kisses Dana. Oh my God.
And then the band starts to play.
Bette band starts to play.
The lead singer. You know, that's P.S. That was supposed to be Peaches.
Well, Peaches came later.
No, initially Peaches was supposed to be this. Because I remember initially Peaches was supposed to pull Shane up on stage and make out with her. And then it got flipped at the last minute.
Oh, interesting.
But, you know, the lead singer singing out to the crowd, she spots Shane trying to lure her up to the stage. Shane shakes her head no. So the lead singer hops down off a little stage and starts walking towards her. And
we're all watching the whole scene. I remember this day, just like watching this all happen.
And I'm standing next to Mia, and I could see Mia scooching out of that shot as fast as possible so she could get the hell out of it.
That's what I'm saying. These are the things. You get lured up. She pretends the microphone is your dick. She sings in it. I was like, wow, Kate would never let any of that happen today.
It's a little crass.
I thought it was crass for you.
Yeah, it's tacky. I didn't like it either.
But there you were doing it. And then you guys really made out. I didn't remember that.
I had to.
Yeah, you guys really made out.
And the whole point of doing that is not for any other reason aside from the fact that Carmen's there. And you know what? Shane's a fucking sucker because...
What do you expect a girl to go through? I mean, you're just like.
I mean, Carmen sees that. She maintains her composure once again. She always does that when she gets shit on, and she, like, you know, lifts her head up high and marches on. And it's like, Shane, you're a fucking sucker. Because later on, she goes to bring Carmen a drink, and Carmen is now sitting with Jenny.
And kisses her just to feel better.
Just to have a little chat. And then Carmen's like, fuck it. And she leans over and kisses Jenny, yeah, right? As Shane's going up to bring over drinks. And then Shane walks away defeated. It's like, fuck you, Shane.
Yeah. It was a
you
big
officially
fuck you, Shane.
Annoy me.
Yeah. I felt a little bad for Jenny because I don't think she understood the reasons, but.
No. Right now, Jenny's innocent. She has no idea.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, the underwear girl from the where I got my whole milk. It's funny, though. She did know she was at your house. Wouldn't she be like, aren't you Shane's?
Like,
everybody
don't give
shares
it if you can't take. Like, my whole thing
show
is don't give it if you can't take it, Shane.
Oh, well, for sure. I mean, you have a lot to learn. Shane has to grow up. You really do.
A little childish. And then Bette's really sweet with Kit because the night turns out to be a huge
first
success.
Kit gets asked. She gets. Oh, yeah. Right before she
no,
gets
prior
asked.
Prior to getting asked
she's
to
like,
sing.
Proud of
Kit,
her.
Like, Bette finally shows up because she was late, and she says, she's really sweet. She says, that's my sister.
I know. It was very cute. And then they give her props from the stage. They invite Kit up.
I miss Kit.
Me too. They all sing Some Kind of Wonderful. And you just feel like this is great. Kit has a successful business, and this is all going to be great for her.
Was Pam
she
really singing?
That.
I'm
yes
sure she was.
Yeah,
but
she
do
was
you know
singing
if she was?
Yeah. I just realized I got out of that whole scene early too, before you kissed Betty. When I went to pee, I was gone.
You're lucky.
Never to be seen again. I just realized that. That's why watching it, I was kind of like, I don't remember them making out like that. And then now I remember why it wasn't there.
Lucky.
Oh my God. To end the whole episode, Bette comes home in her fabulous outfit and she sees her bed made up, which is confusing. She's kind of looking around like, why is my bed made? And then she looks to the hangers because that's the only place they have clothes. And she's like, okay, Tina must have been here. Then she sees a computer. You can tell her face falls a little. And then she opens it up and sees the picture of Candace and Bette. And she knows Tina saw it.
And there's nothing left to do except walk into your backyard.
That's
and
what you do.
Walk right into the pool with your face down. With all your clothes on. I mean, if I was Bette, I'd be doing the same thing at that point. I mean, what's there left to do?
No, you have to just float at that point.
Yeah. It's like this whole episode's either about a misunderstanding or speaking up and using your voice or not speaking up, right? Like that's, and Bette's just, Bette means well and she's either not speaking up and she's being misunderstood. How much lower can Bette get in Bette's own mind?
She can't. She's got to just bob in the water.
This episode
this
was really good.
It was great.
It was the strongest one of the season.
Yeah.
Now I feel like things are moving. The first two, it was kind of slow and trotting along. And now
you're in.
We're in and like with things, there's movement and things are happening. And it's yeah. Like I'm feeling more consequence as opposed to just the simmering tension.
Yeah. Characters are going through things. And that's what you want on a television show.
Anyway. Good job, Rose and Lara.
Well, we give that a 10 out of 10. Rose and Lara.
10 out of 10.
Next week, we do episode 4. I'm excited.
Yeah, we
maybe
do.
We could watch that one together with some cuppas.
Should we? We haven't watched one together since the summertime.
Have a great week.
What are you eating?
Nothing.
What is that?
I got hungry.
What is it?
I'm not even going to chew it till we stop.
What is it? Tell me what it is. It looks really good.
Goodbye, everybody. This has been
Pants.
What is it? I could barely say pants because my
what
mouth
is
full. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Pants, a podcast brought to you by myself, Kate Menig, and Leisha Haley. Produced by Melissa D. Montz. Please listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can follow Pants on Instagram at The Pants Pod. Theme song by Carolina Para of the band CSS, and graphics are by Love Fox.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.